Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Let the healing begin. As David has now come into the kingship that was rightfully his. King Saul has died. Israel has lost much land to the Philistines. Abner makes Ishbosheth king over northern Israel. Judah anoints David as king. Israel's at civil war. Abner turns from Ishbosheth and throws his support to David. Unfortunately, Abner is murdered. Ishbosheth is murdered. But David finally becomes the king over unified Israel. And as we studied, it is very sad when God's people fight among themselves. And the Philistines watch this behavior. And how many times do people today watch churches fight? And it's a sad thing. If you think about this, David is the one surely who is experienced and watched as he is the one coming to the throne. And he has watched this incredible disunity and consider what David himself wrote in Psalm 133:1, a song of degrees of David. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, speaking from great experience. Quote, when you read the scriptures, you cannot help but discover that the brothers did not always live in unity. Cain killed Abel. Lot quarreled with Abraham. Joseph's brothers hated him and sold him for a slave. And the brothers did not even get along among themselves. Miriam and Aaron criticized their brother Moses. And some of David's children turned against him. Our Lord's own disciples frequently quarreled over which one of them was the greatest. And Paul and Barnabas argued over John Mark and finally broke company and chose new companions. The church began in visible unity, but when you read Paul's epistles, you find a sad story of rivalry and division, and it's not much better today. It was one thing for the Jewish clans to spend a few days together while traveling to Jerusalem, and quite something else to dwell together at home for the rest of the year. Yet they all had a common ancestor in Abraham. They spoke a common language. They worshiped the same God. They were children of the same covenant. They shared a common land, and they were governed by the same holy law. Christians today have experienced the same spiritual birth, worship the same God, declare the same gospel message, preach from the same scriptures, are headed for the same heavenly city, but alas, there's often more division among us than unity. This ought not to be. Let's consider our text tonight, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. Well, in this chapter, we see the tribes of Israel finally accepting and anointing David as their unified king. We see the summary of David's reign as he began at 30 and ruled for 40 years. In this chapter, we'll see that David conquers Jerusalem. David aligns with Hiram of Tyre and realizes the incredible blessings of God has been bestowed upon him. Unfortunately, in this chapter, we'll also see David taking more wives and having more children. We see the Philistines twice attack Israel, and Israel prevails over them. Well, let's consider this, that David is now anointed as the king over all of Israel. Chapter 5, verse 1. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. They are one family. 2. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us. I want you to stop and think about this. Also in time past, when King Saul was over us. They're looking back to those days that we see recorded in 1 Samuel. of the reign of King Saul, the people realized that even when Saul was king, they realized certain things about David. Now get this. Saul is the king. David is in exile as a fugitive, fleeing for his life, and they are making note of David. When God's hand is on someone, the light will shine. There is something about David that King Saul can do his best, but he cannot suppress it. Verse 2, also in time past when Saul was king over us, thou, you David, thou wast he that led us out and brought us in Israel. You were still having an influence on this country. You may not have realized it as you fled for your life and you hid out in the different places. But, oh, David, you have no idea how you are speaking to the nation of Israel. Thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. Also, go on. And the Lord said to thee, now how they know this, I don't know, but apparently they saw the hand of God on him. Surely they saw the hand of God on him. Thou shalt feed my people Israel. David, you are an inspiration in this incredible spiritual darkness as the priesthood is in shambles. The tabernacle has got weeds growing up all over it. Where are they getting the word of God? Apparently from the life of David. They're seeing his testimony in action. Now there are psalms recorded during the time that David was fleeing from Saul. Did they get copies of those? I don't know. All I know is this. The Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel. We know that the Lord is doing something through you, David. Now, again, they're looking also future. There you will. There's more to come here, David. And it also says, thou shalt be captain over Israel. We knew it. We have recognized you. Even as King Saul has thrown all of his might against you, you were the man. And so it is. The people recognize David as the one. It's also interesting, if we go back to Deuteronomy, where Moses is recapping many truths to the generation ready to enter the promised land. One generation has died. Moses is the old man, speaking to this younger generation. And he says this in Deuteronomy 17:15, thou shalt in any wise set a king over thee, whom the Lord shall choose. Do you think David fit that bill based upon what we just read in 2 Samuel 5? I do. When King Saul was over us, thou was he that leddest out and broughtest in. And the Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel. Thou shalt be a captain over Israel. We recognize God's hand on you. And Deuteronomy 17:15, whom the Lord thy God shall choose, one from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Well, as long as Saul was alive, they were bound to honor him because he was God's anointed. But now that he is dead, they're free to have a civil war. Is that not amazing? They knew these things about David. Saul dies. Why did you allow Abner to set up Ishbosheth? It blows the mind. The truth is, it doesn't say exactly, but we can surmise some things. Why did the northern tribes therefore tolerate Ishbosheth being the king rather than going down and accept David as the rightful one? Well, they don't really say, but we do know this. Abner must have been one dynamic personality, that he could have that kind of influence over people. Surely he had a high-ranking place in the administration of Saul as he was the captain of the army, the host. And apparently that influence has carried on. He must have been quite a presence among a crowd that he could command such control over a nation, even though the king was dead. Thus, standing against Abner must have been very difficult, and hence the people therefore tolerated Ishbosheth being the king. You know, whatever the reason was, the fact remains they did tolerate Ish-bosheth as the king. This is the reality of life. Things aren't always the way they ought to be. Should the northern tribes have rebelled against Ish-bosheth? Should they have thrown their support to David, defected? Some did. You know what the reality is? We're not there. What would we have done if we were there? You know, it's easy to armchair quarterback. But we don't know. Therefore, leave these things to the hand of God instead of passing judgment. It's interesting, though, that here David is finally being received by these people. Did you notice that he does not rebuke them in this passage? You guys really blew it for the last 7 years. We didn't have to have civil... No. He just welcomed them. It's over. He did not confront them because he's got what he wants. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath. He doesn't want any more fighting. Grievous words stir up anger. Here they come to Hebron to anoint him to be the king. He didn't need to say anything else. He's got what he wants. David was first anointed back in 1 Samuel 16 by Samuel when he was a shepherd boy. He was then anointed again, 2 Samuel 2:4, by the men of Judah. And now we see him in 2 Samuel 5:1. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David in Hebron. Verse 3, so all the elders of Israel came to the king. And at the end of verse 3, they anointed David king over Israel. David had a long wait. And between the time of being anointed as a shepherd boy until this passage here in 2 Samuel chapter 5, he surely endured many hardships. The path was not smooth to the throne. But he waited for God's timing rather than taking the throne by the sword. And surely we need to learn to wait on God. Because David was sitting there tending sheep, and God saw to it that he was anointed to be the next king. You don't have to push your way into a position. Let God do it. And in God's timing, it will be best. And whatever God has for you, wait on it. And you will be so thankful you did. And surely as David waited, does he not picture the Son of David, who even today waits for his rightful throne over this earth? And he's waiting for the Father to tell him when. Quote, when David was a teenager, Samuel had anointed him privately, and the elders of the tribe of Judah had anointed him when he became their king at 30 years of age. But now the elders of the whole nation anointed David and proclaimed him as their king. David was not an amateur, but a seasoned warrior and a gifted leader who obviously had the blessing of the Lord on his life and ministry. After experiencing years of turbulence and division, the nation had at last a king who was God's choice and the people's choice. God takes time to prepare his leaders, and much to be pitied is the person who succeeds before he or she is ready. Wait for God. I want you to consider that David inherits a nation in trouble. Saul has died, civil war has ensued, and now David inherits a mess. He does not say, well, that miserable King Saul, this whole thing's his fault. I want you to consider the mess that David inherits. The priesthood is a mess. 1 Samuel 4:10, and the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled, every man to his tent, and there was a great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen, and the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas were slain. That's way back in the beginning of 1 Samuel. The ark is gone. So that which was serving as the tabernacle is now an empty shell. Where's the ark? The heartbeat of the whole thing. Well, when the word came back from the battlefield, Eli, the high priest, was told, and he fell off a wall he was sitting on, and he died. The ark is gone. Take a look at 1 Samuel 7:1. The men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord. You see, the Philistines captured it in battle, and then they said, get this thing out of here. Well, these men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the Ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill, sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the Ark of the Lord. It came to pass while the Ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. The priesthood has had serious death in its upper ranks. The Ark is gone. It's a serious time, and even now, as David is ascending to the throne, the ark is still in exile. It's not in the tabernacle. As a matter of fact, chapter 6 is when David finally tries to move it. He moves it wrong. How about this? Saul died in battle, and the Philistines captured and controlled much of the land of Israel. How would you like to inherit this mess? The nation just endured civil war. There's been no unified leadership for years, and Israel is divided between north and south. Hence, David is surely welcome. Let's stop the killing and let's make a league with each other here. Let's get this thing going. Let the healing begin. We don't need to fight anymore. In our study later on, in chapter 8 of 2 Samuel, we will see how David organized his government. In chapter 20 of 2 Samuel, we will see that David also restructured his government. David is applying himself. If we were to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 23 and 24, we would see where David also restructured the duties of the priesthood. He has truly applied himself to this nation. But David not once grumbled about the mess that he inherited from King Saul, even though he did inherit a mess from King Saul. Just start doing right and watch God bless. Remember the qualifications of a king. Deuteronomy 17:15, we've already looked at it. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. And now from verse 15, let's drop down to that later on. You've got it there in verse 18, only a few verses later. And it shall be when he, the king, sits upon the throne of his kingdom, he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, the king. He shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes and do them. And is David not applying himself to the nation? And surely David will fail several times and greatly with Bathsheba. But I think here we see the incredible importance of our government leaders getting a copy of the scriptures and reading them daily and applying themselves to them. I think it's interesting also now as David has finally ascended to the throne. Can you not imagine him reflecting back at all that he went through as Saul tried to kill him? He had choice soldiers selected to chase him around the countryside, and yet there in the cave at En-Gedi, Saul was well within his hand. He could have killed him on the spot, and he chose, I will not do it. 1 Samuel 24:6. And he, David, said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he's the anointed of the Lord. Can you imagine David there saying, I'm glad I didn't do it. I do not want to take this throne by the sword. In the very next chapter, chapter 25 of 1 Samuel, Nabal, and his very name means fool. Why you would name your kid a name that means fool, I don't know. But his wife, Abigail, was married to this fool, and of course he insults David, and there's a conflict there, and David raises up his sword and his men, and they're ready to go and bring vengeance on Nabal. Abigail hears of it, and she goes to David and stops him. Chapter 25, verse 32 of 1 Samuel, David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which thou hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with my own hand. And David, I really believe at this point, is so thankful that he has not foolishly taken the throne with the sword. He has not sought vengeance on his own people that he will rule, such as the people of Nabal. Of course, Nabal died. But that's not how he needs to conduct himself as he's going to be the king. Well, here we are transitioning from David from fugitive to the king. And in 2 Samuel 5:4, David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. Can we simply reflect on that simple verse? 30 years of age, God finally put David in the job that he had for him. In very round figures, approximately half of his life was training for his life's calling. 30 years he was trained, and finally God said, "You're ready." Are you being trained? I don't know what God has for you. I know this too. God's not done. We can always be available, and God can still develop us and use us, even as we get up in years. David was 30, and surely he began to reign. He reigned for 40 years. But the responsibilities of leadership he had to be on top of, because conditions change. And he has to keep himself involved, ever learning and ever applying himself to do the best that he could. Verse 5, in Hebron, he, David, reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. Well, thus we can see David was 70 years old when he died. If he was 30 when he began to reign, and we know that he reigned for 40 years and he died, guess what? He was 70. Now, there's something else also here. He reigned 40 years. In chapter 5, verse 5, look at it. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. Now, if you look at some other passages, case in point, I don't think I gave you this one, 1 Kings 2:11. And in the days that David reigned over all Israel 40 years, 7 years reigned he in Hebron. What happened to the 6 months? Here's what I think it means, because there are a couple places it references the 6 months. I personally think it's the transition, moving the seat of government from Hebron to Jerusalem. Jerusalem had to be conquered. Jerusalem had to be fitted for the people, and I think that's where that 6 month is. So he's kind of ruling in Hebron, but he's transitioning. And that's what I think that 6 months means. Now, as we think about this, I also want us to think about the northern tribes under Ishbosheth. 2 Samuel 2:10. Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel and reigned 2 years. Now, there is debate in the commentaries, and personally, I don't personally know which one I really settle on, because I don't think it matters. One side of the coin, the commentators say he reigned 2 years and died. And I can see their point. And there are other commentators that are saying, no, he reigned 2 years and then these events began to take place. And I see their argument. But I know this. Whatever it is, Israel was a mess. That's the bigger point. So let's not get all excited about what it really means. Maybe someday we'll get illuminated, somebody will read something and can share with us, and we'll all understand. For now, I accept, I don't know, but Israel was a mess. David waited to be the king, and it finally came to him. And I think this is one of the greatest lessons that we can learn here in this passage. Wait. Humble yourself before God. Do right while you're waiting in His time. Psalm 75:5, lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge, He putteth down one, He setteth up another. You don't have to do it. You just be faithful where God has planted you in time and space. And you be the best you can, and let God take care of all the other things. If He has big plans for you, you won't miss it if you're being faithful in the little things. What words do we have for the church today? 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And so it is we see from the life of David that in due time, he was finally relieved from a life of exile, of torment as they sought for his very life. Another lesson I want us to think as we look at this passage, think about those men that served with David when he was in exile. Surely it was hardest on David, but do you think it was any fun for them as they were being chased around the countryside with him? They had to endure also, although it wasn't their particular lives that were in danger. Mostly Saul was after David, but I have a feeling if he had a chance and he had to, he'd take them all out. Well, these men were faithful and followed David in hiding. They followed him to the land of the Philistines. And David surely was leading them, and he made good decisions and he made bad decisions. But these men, through the years, were proving themselves, and their very character was being revealed in their obedience and in their reaction, whether it be good or whether it be bad. David was learning about his men because these are the men that are going to be pretty close to him when he takes the throne. And he is learning in these difficult times, who's really with me? If I ask so-and-so to do this, is he going to do this, or am I going to have a debate on my hands? And so it is in these trying times, God, we saw in past studies, we saw that David went from 400 to 600, and we saw how the numbers increased. And God was developing David as he was also developing the men with him. I want us, therefore, to bring it today. What can we learn? How God also develops us, little by little. You see, as these men were proving themselves simply by following David as they're being chased around the countryside, little things were revealing their true character. Luke 16:10, he that is faithful in that which is least. Will you be faithful as David runs around the countryside? If you're faithful in least, you're also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. David is learning his men. Many times God will try us in little things when we don't even know it. Will you tend to this thing? Will you be faithful in this little task? And God is watching. Yes or no? Oh, it doesn't matter. God says it matters very much. Will you be faithful in something that's little? Because if you're not faithful in little things, you are not going to be faithful in big things. Let us be found faithful in the little things of life. And of course, David surely pictures Christ. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 gives us the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Son of David. And as David waited for his throne, Jesus Christ waits for his throne. And like David's men in exile, while David was waiting, while the men were waiting and serving with him in these trying times, folks, is this not where Christ is? He's at the right hand of God the Father, waiting for word from the Father. Now is the time. But he waits. And where are we? We're in trying times like those men. We must be found faithful. Because as those men will one day reign with David, there is one day we will reign with the Son of David. 2 Timothy 2:12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Wonderful picture there. Therefore, let us suffer, as that verse says. Suffer for the Lord. Because here in our service, if we're found faithful, we will reign with him one day. I love the story of David. Any of the Old Testament stories, we learn so much from their behavior, from their reactions. And it's a tremendous blessing for us.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.